Seminar, Agelessness. Lecture 1, There is no time. There is no time. This morning we gave a talk for today entitled, There is no time. Coincidentally, our lecture begins, There is no time. Think about what time means. Time means that we are, we are relative. Relative and time go together. Absolute and time don't go together. Because in absolute, there is no time. Now, how do you know that? Because I'm telling you. Now, in the relative and time, that is what time is all about. And it's all about relative. What we'd like to do, at least what I'd like to have us do, is to work from the point of view of how we can be master of our life, of our world, of our affairs, and be master of time. Be master of time, and truly we can. It seems like it's a possibility or proposition that is beyond what a human being can do, but there's nothing beyond what a human being can do. When a human being decides to be a divine being, when we decide to listen to our divine nature instead of listening to our relative nature. Now, what do you want to listen to? Do you want to listen to your divine nature, or do you want to listen to your relative nature? It's a good possibility of whatever we want to do. So, think about what you're doing and how you're doing it. Do you want to listen to your relative nature, or do you want to listen to your divine nature? Well, I would say we certainly should consider very seriously listening to our divine nature. Now, there is allness, there is isness, and there is now. There is allness, there is isness, there is now. At the moment, we haven't the capacity to think in allness, and we haven't the capacity to think in isness. But we can think in now. And you say, well, my goodness, now would seem more difficult than allness and isness. Well, not really. If I say to you, tell me the name of every capital in the United States, every capital of every state in the United States, or I tell you, give me the name of every capital in the world, of every nation in the world. Now, does the name of the capital of every nation in the world exist? Yes, it's the allness of all the capitals of all the nations in the world. Do you possibly know them? If you know them, what would you do? He would say, yes, I know them. Now, that's still being allness. And the moment you utter any name, then you are relative. You are back in your relative frame of the, the relative, where you're talking about things that have individual meaning to them. And you say the names of the different capitals, and you're at that capital. That's in the now. The moment you say the name of a capital of any nation on earth, you're in that capital. What's the capital of Switzerland? Bern. Bern? Bern. Bern. Well, I don't have to pronounce it right. I just have to pronounce it so it's spelled right. Bern. 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 So Bern, B-E-R-N, is the capital of Switzerland. Well, now, I was in the capital, and I was speaking in the capital, and I wasn't even thinking that it was the capital. I was just thinking of all the wonderful people I was speaking to at the Bern Seminar. And as far as the capital went, it made no difference. And they toured me around some of the executive buildings there. They showed me the outside of some of the buildings and said, isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's overlooking the river, and it's beautiful. Now, I'm there. See, the minute I mentioned Bern, and I mentioned capital, and I mentioned my seminar, I'm there. I'm not the allness. See, every time I say something like that, I am the allness as far as Bern, the capital, goes, but not as far as all the capitals in the world. Now, How are we going to take care of ourselves so we can move from the concept of this limitation that we find ourselves in, the relative world that we find ourselves in, and move into the dynamics of the absolute world? Now, we say agelessness. Well, agelessness is not available in the relative world. The relative world must have age, because it must have numbers. When did your mother die? When did your father die? When did your brothers or sisters die, or anybody else? When did they, were they born? And boop, you give an age, and boop, you give a year, and boop, you give a time, you know? Now, we want to start living an ageless life, a timeless life. How do we go about living a timeless life? Well, to live a timeless life takes a great deal of attention on our part. Now, I made a note here this morning about someone that I respect very highly, I love very deeply, and I admire tremendously, and I didn't realize how fantastic this person was until I just wrote down all these little notes on it. Now, the person is my mother. How about that? So, would you believe that this being that I call my mother was a child one time? This being was a child. And this being was a very nice child, an ordinary child, doing all the stupid little things that ordinary children do. She lived on a farm in Wisconsin. And they had horse and buggies that they rode to church with, they went to town to go shopping with, and things like that. And they thought they had the greatest. They thought they had the latest. They didn't know there was anything else other than that. Because back in those days, there were no cars. And there were no gasoline engines doing anything. There were horse engines. That's where the word horsepower comes from, you know. And it was wonderful. Mother was a lovely child. She went into the barn and brought in the eggs, and she went out and chose a chicken to have for supper, and clop, off goes the head, and not a thing about it. It's just part of having chicken dinner. If you don't take off the head, you don't get the chicken dinner. Who wants to boil a live chicken? It's not very nice to the chicken, is it? You know? So, and then Mother, do you know what she did? Do you know what she did? She became a woman. Can you imagine that? She became a woman. And her body had all the hormones and all the stuff that a woman has. And she was a very charming woman. And she stood as her wistful, slim self, with the wind blowing in her hair. I can see the picture that we have of her with the wind blowing in her hair and on her dress. And she's standing there next to the buggy. And she just looks glorious. Well, she's a woman. And my dad noticed that. And so my dad married her, and she became a mother. A mother of five kids. Probably the most outstanding children that the world has ever seen. Never again to be repeated. You know? Five children. Wow. And you know what my mother did? She retained her childlikeness as she was a mother. She remembered what it was to be a child, and so as she raised us with all the dickens that she had when she was a child. She used to chase us around the house with her stick or her broom or whatever she had in her hand that she wanted to beat the hell out of us with, and she chased us and she never caught us. She never caught, but we all had a good run. She had a good run. We had a good run. All my mother had to do was say, "Stop. The game is over." And we would not run. We would stop. And we would take whatever was to be handed out to us for whatever reason. But mother loved to play the games with us. Now, you say, she should have known better than chase. She had fun. She had fun. She was chasing us around that house. She was just having as much fun as we were having. And she wasn't worried that we were such naughty, naughty kids that we should have the tar beaten out of us. She didn't care if she ever got to us. She went to my brother Ray one time when Ray had been exceedingly not nice for doing something. I don't know what he did, but he didn't do something right. And Mother took the strainer that you take French fries and you dip them in the thing, and the strainer strains the oil out. Well, she picked that strainer off the sink, and she went at him like this. You know, it is no big deal. But he did the normal thing. He acted afraid. And he backed up and went right through the kitchen window and fell out of the kitchen. It was only a couple feet down. But we'll never forget that. These are the games she played with us. She retained her youthfulness all through her young womanness as she was raising us children. And then, you know what else she did? She wrote children's stories. She wrote stories about us kids, telling how wonderful we were, how fantastic we were, how good we were, even though we were little devils. Do you understand that? She saw the good in us, and she helped us to see the good in us by the stories she wrote about us. We had to live up to those stories, you know? And Mother didn't make us angels, but she made us, you know, nearby angels. And the stories were really quite charming. And she would do all of these neat things. And then in the evening, after she would find time during the day to write these stories, she'd sit on her big armchair with the big arms on it, and us kids would all pile around, and she'd read us these stories. Well, now, as memory serves me, the stories seemed to be like a whole evening long. But the stories were one page. But she read them with such joy and such magic that we sat there listening entranced, delighted in this young lady who was our mother, in this young person who was one of us, in this young person who remained eternally young. And then, you know, she made a mistake, a big mistake. She became a grandmother and didn't know how to be a grandmother. She didn't know how to be a grandmother. She treated her grandchildren just like she treated her children, expecting the best out of them, expecting them to be geniuses, expecting them to be courteous and to be loving and gentle and all that stuff. She expected that. And she came to me one day, and I was living in California, and she came. She says, "Herbie, I love my grandchildren, but they don't love me. They shy away from me. They don't like to come and stay with me. They don't want to be around me. Why is it that that's so?" I mean, that she would ask me this question is very interesting. But she asked me. And I said, "Mom, you forgot one thing. You're supposed to spoil them rotten. You are not supposed to raise them. That's their mom and dad's duty, to raise them and train them and teach them their values. You are to be a living example of fun, of joy. The kids are supposed to look at you and say, 'Wow, that's what I want to be like. I want to be a grandma like my grandma. I want to be a grandpa like my grandpa.' You know, they have fun. They go to the zoo. They do all these things. And they laugh at silly things. They laugh at dumb, dumb, silly things where mom and dad are a little serious on stuff like that. They say, 'Now, don't act so silly. You know, don't be, act your age. You know, get that sort of stuff.'" And then when Mom started doing this, then her children started saying, "Mom, why don't you act your age?" You know. But Mom never acted her age. She was always that inveterate child that she had been from the beginning and never changed. One time she forgot just a little bit about what the role was for her grandmother. But the moment she remembered what the role was for her grandmother, a grandmother is to be one with the grandchildren. Young, alive, delighted, delightful, just like the grandchildren are, playing with them, having fun with them, doing things with them. The grandchildren should love that grandmother just like one of them. Now, this is being eternally young. This is learning agelessness. This is learning how to live in that state of infinite youth, of infinite What other word would you have for it than youth? The infinite child, the eternal child, but not a stupid child. A child of love and care and gentleness, a child of intuitiveness, a child that really wants to be part of the world. You see, this is what each one of us want to do. We want to do what my mom did. And you see, my mom had another problem. When she was born, she had plastic surgery. And they painted an eternal smile on her face. I don't know where she had the plastic surgery, but you know, maybe her mom and dad had a hand in it when they said, "Look at that beautiful child, isn't that beautiful?" And now, my sister is 82 or something like that, and she is talking to me about my great grand nephew and my great nephew. My niece is the mother of the child, so whatever the child is. And the first child that my niece had, and she was the last of the Mohegans for my sister, of her six children, and she had this child when she was 40. And this child was called Samantha. And this child, Samantha, is one of the most magnificent children you ever want to see in your life. She goes to her grandpa, who isn't feeling too well, and she says, "Grandpa, you get in bed now, and I'm going to cover you up. Now, you stay in bed, and you take your nap right now. And when you're done with your nap, then we'll play." And so Samantha has a baby brother. And the baby brother is a most exceptional child. The baby brother is just like me. At least that's what my sister tells me. He is exactly like you, Herbie, exactly like you were when you were a baby. He's always got a smile on his face. He is always being a joy in the life of everybody. Everybody who sees him feels happy, feels uplifted, feels wonderful. Well, what is happening? Samantha and her brother are making my brother-in-law come alive. He was going to die a couple times, but he didn't. And now with these children there, he knows why he didn't, because they are such a joy. He feels alive with them. He does things. They say, "Come on, Grandpa, and do this." And if anybody else says, "Come and do it," "Okay, I'll come, you know," and crankety-ranky. But when the kids say, "Come," he's full of energy. All of a sudden, he can do anything. You understand that? You understand that? That little bit of motivation makes a lot of difference. Well, the kids do that to him. And the kids do that to Marie. She is always, that's my sister, she's always paying attention to being young. She doesn't say young, but she is with her grandchildren. She's with her children. And she's not sticking her nose in their business. She said yesterday, one of her grandchildren was supposed to come over and shovel the sidewalk for the snow in Delaware, because the snow was a couple of feet thick, and it needed to be done. Well, he didn't show. He had a job after school, and he was not available. So two young boys came walking by, and they knocked on the door and said, "Would you like your snow shovel?" And my sister and her husband said, "Yes." And they said, "How much do you charge?" "Well, we charge $20. And so, wow, you know, I used to get it for 50 cents. But that was a year or two ago. So the two boys went out in front of the house. And the one boy, who was 13, told the boy who was 12 what to do. And so the 12-year-old shoveled all the snow. I did a good job, too. The older boy made sure he did it really good. And they shoveled every walk. They shoveled the driveway. They shoveled into the street. They shoveled up to the front sidewalk. They shoveled the back patio. $20, you know, they earned the money. Now, that was lovely. And my sister and her husband were happy to pay. And then, a few days later, they got a Christmas card from the boys saying, thank you for letting us shovel your walk, and putting their telephone number on there so that if they want the walk shoveled again, surely they will call the book. Now, they're 13, you know, and I mean, they're fantastic. But you see, now, does this sparkle my sister? Does this make her young in heart? Does it sparkle my brother-in-law to think that these kids are so creative and so dynamic and so entrepreneurial? You know, it is just really fantastic. How many of you know what entrepreneurial means? They're creative. They're creative as salespersons. Ellen, what does Heinz name his church?
Church of Divine
Entrepreneur. The Church of the Divine Entrepreneur. So Heinz is the Divine Entrepreneur. That's his church in New Zealand. The Church of God Unlimited in New Zealand. The Church of the Divine Entrepreneur. My, aren't we getting with the new with the new words and the new programs? That's beautiful, you see. But Heinz too is thinking young. Heinz too is thinking in a youthful attitude. Heinz too is associating himself with youth. Now, Marie is associating herself with youth, and she's enjoying that. Mother associated herself with youth. What's the first thing Mother did when she found the Unity Church? She became a member, became active, and then the next thing you know, she was teaching the Sunday school, teaching the children, and then she started teaching adult classes. Well, now, as she taught adult classes, the adults acted like adults, you know. They acted, you know, we know all this stuff. This is nothing new to us. We've heard this before. Well, why are you coming, you know? We've heard this, and we know this all. And so Mother would start telling them children's stories in her class. She would start telling them stories about how the little children in the neighborhood would come over and want to do things for her. How they would come over during depression time and they would eat dinner with us because we happened to have food on the table. And they would say, could I invite my mom and dad over too? You know, we got lots of money in property, but you can't sell the property to get money to get food. You know, I mean, so, you know, can you help us? My dad was a builder and so he was paid. And so they came over. So everybody in our neighborhood loved my mom and my dad because, you know, they were so generous. And everybody in our neighborhood thought of mom as the youngest lady in the neighborhood. But fact be known, mother was the oldest mother in the neighborhood. All the rest of them were new mothers, you know. They were younger mothers. Their children were in their lower levels, and mother was in the mid-level with her kids. And you see, she acted young. She acted youthful. She acted vital. She acted dynamic. And she was born with a smile on her face, too. And everyone says, Ella's always got a smile. Wherever Ella goes, she takes that smile with her, and everyone feels wonderful in her presence. Now, you see, that's another aspect of agelessness. Agelessness is not this, you know, with that dropped outer lips, you know. You see a lot of people like that. I had a woman in Canada, and she was a nice lady. We had a quite a large group there in Canada, and she was sitting to my left, and she was sitting there with her dropped, you know, I can't do that, but she was sitting there with her lips on the outer edges dropped, like she was just so sad. And finally I said to her, what is this all about? Why are you sitting in my lecture here with a sad face? She said, I don't have a sad face. I said, you certainly do. I said, your face is dropped down. If it drops down any further, you'll be on the lower floor, you know. And so I told her, I said, that's not acceptable. And so I started telling her laughing jokes. And they came up a little bit, but not much. So then the next thing I did, there were two young gentlemen sitting on each side of her. And she was, She is maybe in her 70s. And so these two guys sitting next to her, I said, guys, would you do me a favor? I said, you take this and you take this. And so each one took the outer edges of her lips and lifted them up. And they held it that way for almost a quarter of an hour. And they were very dedicated and very wonderful. And they held them up. And I said, now are you getting the point? And she said, that's new. I feel, you know, using muscles I hadn't used before. And I said, that's true. When you start living with an attitude of happiness in your heart, then your smile will be on your face, and your smile will make your face just filled with wrinkles. Because every time you smile, you're smiling and you're getting a face full of wrinkles. So if you see a wrinkled-faced person, you know that they're a smiley person. You know that they're a happy person. You know that they're filled with joy. And the more wrinkles a person has on the face, the younger they are. You look at little children, and when little children are smiling and laughing, and you got all over their face, they got wrinkles. But you don't see it because that laughter, that smilingness shines through so bright. And they are so young, and they are so dynamic, and they are so wonderful, you know. But of course, frowns have wrinkles too, you know. So we want to be careful that the wrinkles we have are from smiles. And when you have the wrinkles of smiles, then you have the wrinkles of agelessness. And if you think you're going to go around taking Botox or putting rotten bananas on your face to get rid of the wrinkles, you're silly. You're silly. You should prize those beautiful evidences of a smiley face, because that is the evidence of a youthful heart. Of a youthful heart. Now, you look at the old Indian chiefs, and the old Indian chiefs have faces full of wrinkles. And you think, surely those faces full of wrinkles are from the troubles they've had and living underneath the sun and all that sort of thing. No way. Those faces full of wrinkles are their smiling heart. Why do you think they're the chief? Not because they're a terrible person, but because they are the Wisdom of Solomon person. They are a gentle, loving, ageless, youthful person. They're a person that everyone loves to be around. They're a person that everyone respects. A person that is a delightful person to be with. And you see, this is what we want to be. We want to be that delightful person, that ageless person, that youthful person, that dynamic person that is just a lot of fun to be around, because that's what it's all about. And if we don't do that, then what happens to us? Then we wither away. You see, a withered face and a wrinkled face are two different things. A withered, dried up face is an old face. A wrinkled face is one that still can wrinkle and can still get all the happiness showing wherever it is. And this is what we want to learn about. We want to learn how to be a happy person. Now, many of you have a strange attitude. Many of you look at these gurus in India, and you look at them and you say, look at their faces, just like a baby's bottom, just so perfect, wrinkle-free, just so wonderful. And yes, that's true. They have spent their entire lifetime with no problems, with no smiles, with no laughter, with no anything. They are just sort of, what would you say, an embalmed face, you know. You know what embalming is? They do that in funerals. They take the body and they put formaldehyde in the veins so that they won't stink while they're having the funeral, you know. Yeah, well, that's just what they do. Because if they're going to have the body on showing and they haven't done the funeral parlor thing on them, the bodies will disintegrate and decay and stink. Now, in many countries of the world, they don't have that luxury. And so when they babysit the bodies during a certain period of time, the bodies begin to have a very strong odor because the bodies are beginning to decay. Well, now, that's age. That's age when you decay. And many people decay, and they wonder why they're decaying. And we have to be very careful that we don't see people decaying. Now, Dorothea, we talked about your residence. We talked about your mausoleum that you live in. And now we were talking about it to make fun of it. We were not talking about it to put Dorothea down or to put her place down. But in her place live just elderly people. No children are allowed to live there, because children will bring brightness and happiness and joy and irritation. Well, let's get shut up. You know, and people start getting alive when they do that. Otherwise, they just sit in front of the television sets and just sort of vegetate. Mm-hmm. All right, now, Dorothea has placed herself in this particular relationship because Dorothea is an eternally young being. She is a being who doesn't know how to get old and how to die. And she probably will never figure it out as far as she's on this plane of life. She doesn't know how. All she knows how to do is live in her ideal spirit, mind, and body. There you go. You see, she didn't object to that at all. She lives in her ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, what is she doing with these ancient, decrepit souls all around her? She is giving herself an example of whether she sees it or doesn't. Now, she has these biddies coming over and talking to her and telling her things, and she looks at them and she says, "My, you are beautiful. My, you are lovely. My, you look younger every day." And they say to her, "Dorothea, what happened to you? I think you better get your glasses fixed, you know. Don't you realize that I'm now 92? And Dorothea says, "I don't know. You look like a kid to me." "Dorothea, I think you need some help." And but you see, that is not true. I'm saying these things because it's not true. Dorothea says what she believes about the other person, and the other person is eager and interested to hear it. No one ever says to Dorothea, "Get your glasses changed." No one ever says to Dorothea, you're blind as a bat, you old woman, you know. Shame on you. Don't you recognize that I am an old person?" They all love being thought of as young. Everyone does. Everyone loves to be thought of as a dynamic young being. Now, I don't mean young in your years, young in attitude. Now, I have dealt with so many people over the years who wanted to die. And I would go in and I'd say, "Hey, I hear you're going to die." He said, "Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. How dare you say that to me?" And I said, "Well, that's what you say." And I said, "Do you want to live or you want to die?" Well, you see, then they realize that they're dying on purpose. They realize that they're dying on cue. They're dying because their doctor said it, or because, you know, something said it about them. And say, "No, I don't want to die." "Oh, be careful. I don't want to die." "Oh, be careful. If you don't want to die, then start acting like the living. Start acting like the living. Stop acting like the dead. Because if you want to be ageless, if you want to live in a happy, harmonious, healthy body, start acting like a living being. Now, how does a living being act? Many I have visited in hospitals, they say, you know, they sort of moan at you out of their bottom, and I say, "Hey, you just won $30 million. What? Oh, hey. You know, their whole body rejuvenates instantly. Their whole mind rejuvenates instantly. And they think, "Oh, what am I going to do with that money? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, wow." And I say, "April Fool," you know. And they say, and they're right back to where they were. But you see, it shows you it can be done. It shows you it's all a mental event, a mental show, and a silly mental show. But these are things that we do to ourselves in keeping us old. In keeping us old like all the other beings in our world are old. Now, we want to be just like all the other beings in our world who are old. So we act old. We say, we say, I'm getting wrinkles. I'm getting this. You don't see wrinkles. You see smile marks, you know. You don't see age. You see eternal life. I don't want to live in this old body. I don't want to live in this decrepit body. I don't want to live in this body that has rheumatism and arthritis and all that other good stuff. I don't want to do that. Well, hey, why are you living in it now? If you don't want to live in it eternally, why are you living in it now? Why do you even talk about it? And why don't you say, I live in my
ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I didn't hear that.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I didn't hear that.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Once again.
I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Hey, sleepyhead. What do you live in? Loud.
Ingeborg.
Ingeborg. Yahoo! I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Come on now.
Of course, yes. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Now, you're knitting and you're drifting. Now, you should be staying awake. This is a show for you, baby. You know? This is a show for you. You see, you're starting to turn back your speedometer. You know what a speedometer is? And what do you turn back? The speed of the speedometer or the miles on the speedometer?
The miles.
And so, what are you turning it back from? You got a little bit of turning to do. So, you got to be alert and awake to this now. And what are you going to turn it back to? What do you want to turn it back to?
Zero.
Huh? Zero? You may be a diaper baby, be a sperm and an egg?
Agelessness.
Agelessness. Oh, say, did you hear what she said? Now, do you have a point on your speedometer that it says agelessness to it? Great.
I have it.
You have it. And are you there?
I'm there.
Wow. What a great place to be in the here and the now there. Now, Dorothea, are you at agelessness?
Oh, that I am.
And how many years have you been on Earth here?
Time.
No, I have been on earth in eternity.
Oh.
I have been on earth in eternity because all time is
now.
If all time is now, I have been on earth in eternity. I have been here forever. Now, have I always been this old goat that I am?
Young chicken.
I'm a young spring chicken, huh? Okay, now are you young spring chickens?
Yes.
Are you ready to have your heads cut off for dinner? No. You can run. All right, now you're young spring chickens, and where do you live?
In agelessness.
Huh?
In agelessness.
In agelessness. Okay, you live in agelessness. Now, where do you get your food? Out of the infinite substance. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And is your body your ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Yes.
Your original purity and integrity?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, is that ageless too?
Yes.
Now, why is it that your body cannot do something sometimes? No, don't say that, don't do that, don't ever do that. Why is it your body? Yeah. Why is it your...
What?
Because it can do anything.
It can do anything at all times. It can do anything at all times. That's agelessness. It can do anything at all times. We have to keep our heart and mind so clear of the past, you know, of that relative world that says when you have a pain, it's caused by something that caused the pain. When you have a good thing, that's caused by something that caused a good thing. Well, that's true. When you have good things in your life, it's because you have good thoughts. When you have pains in your life, it's because you have pain thoughts in your life, you know? It's just that simple, and unfortunately, that mean, you know? And do you want to have pain thoughts? Yes! That's why you have them. Now, when are you going to stop having pain thoughts? And I say to you, when are you going to have health thoughts? Mm-hmm. Come.
Now.
Now, right. When are you going to live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Now.
And when is everybody in the world going to see you living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Now.
Is that right, Ingeborg?
Yes.
Does everyone see you living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Yes.
Do you see yourself living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Yes.
Does that mean you can get up and dance and jump and sing and play?
Yes.
And do it every day? In every way?
Now.
Yeah, now. Now. Okay, this is very important for all of us because we have a tendency to play the game of appearances. Now, do you believe in appearances? And hey, the appearances can be good appearances and the appearances can be bad appearances. But so long as you believe in any appearances at all, you are ageful. When you believe in no appearances, then you are ageless. What does ageless look like? Yeah? We cannot say what agelessness looks like because agelessness does not have anything that is unique to itself. Agelessness has eternal youth. But what's eternal youth? What is this here 4-year-old, 7-year-old kid that's so full of them vigor and vitality? What is it that they got? What is that life figure, that life symptom, that substance about them, that love, that joy, that makes them so, you know, like a kid, he'll play until he drops dead, and he'll fall over, sleep for a minute, and then get up and play again. He's eternal energy, but he recuperates whenever he wishes and needs to, and he doesn't make excuse. He doesn't say, oh, I'm an old man, I got to have my nap, you know, I got to have my recuperation time. The kid says, I'm a young child, and I'm full of vim, vigor, and vitality. And he falls asleep, you know. And 2 seconds later, he's up, playing, all full of spit and vinegar, just having a good time. Now, what about you? Do you say every time you lay down and take a nap, well, I've got to have my beauty rest. Beauty rest! You're taking a nap because you feel like taking a nap. And, you know, I come up to Ellen, and I say, Ellen, I'm taking my nap right now. Ellen, you just won $30 million. Oh, wow, is she awake? Is she alert? Is she full of life? You see, she didn't need that rest. That was just a choice of hers to take a nap. And not that the nap was bad or good, but she didn't need it. She says, I got to take my beauty rest, you know, I got to have that. So my face is looking young and delightful at dinner table, you know. I don't want to have everybody look at me and see the wrinkles all over my face. They'll think that I'm an old crow, you know. And she is an old crow. Every time she thinks she's an old crow, she's an old crow. Every time she thinks that the wrinkles make her an old crow, she's an old crow. Now, what happens with people? What is the essence of their happiness, the essence of their vitality, what is the essence of their youthfulness, the essence of their beingness, and what is the essence of their agelessness? Can anyone tell me?
Attitude. Spirit of truth within.
The spirit of truth within.
What?
Gertrude, what do you say?
It's my God self.
Your God self.
Yeah.
What do you say, Sylvia?
My reality.
Your reality. So, what was the question I asked you?
What is the essence of agelessness?
What is the essence? I just wanted to make sure you knew. What is the essence of agelessness? Now, what is the essence of agelessness?
Happiness.
Well, she says, my reality. Now, do you understand what your reality is? Not really.
I do understand it, but to define it is a different thing. Yeah.
All right. Now, what do you think it is, Ellen? What do you think agelessness is?
And being myself and having fun.
Yes. And what do you think?
Happiness. Joy.
And what do you think, Ingeborg? What do you think agelessness is?
No age, always young.
You think that agelessness is being eternally young, eternally youthful. Now, what, Ingeborg, does eternally youthful mean to you? What does that mean, that phrase, what does that mean to you? Yeah, but Sylvia, what does eternally youthful mean to you?
It's my reality.
Let it alone. We're asking for some new terms now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The
phrase was good, but you know we're looking for some. What is eternally youthful mean to you?
I can do everything I like. I can run down the street and.
So now you're coming up with all these nice statements. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, Sylvia, finish.
I'm untouched. I'm unconditional love.
Make them a little more normal relative type things.
Normal relative. Well, for me, being untouched is very.
Yeah, but I like to play.
Oh, I like to play.
I like to dance. I like to sing. I like to laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to laugh.
Yeah, and I like to go out with the kids, and I like to run around the block. And I love to play in the sandbox.
Of course. Yes, and I like to play to build sandcastles.
And Ellen?
Yes.
What was the little girl playing at the airport? WAR. War.
Oh,
she was playing war with her mom. That's a card game. And it's a silly card game. A simple, silly card game. And the girl won number of times, and her mom even won a couple of times. But it's just a simple card game. If you got this or that, you just throw the card down. And you're supposed to go real fast. Boom, 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 boom. They were having a ball. And then she sent the little girl over to look at the timetable to see when the plane was coming in. And the little girl read it, and she said, 10:30. And the mother says, 10:30? I got to see that board. No, it was 8:30. You know, it's just a few minutes away. But the girl read the wrong label. But she was having fun. Now, did she sparkle her mother to life? 10:30, my goodness sake, she ran over to seize that board. You know, and you could have said, you've just been given $30 million, and she'd run over the board, you know, to see it. And what would you say? What would you say being yourself and having fun was doing?
Just as I've always said.
Now, I don't want this just as I always have, because we are not living in your backyard. You've got to tell us what you always have.
Happiness.
Yeah, well, what is happiness?
Happiness is.
Yeah, what makes you happy? Going over to Henry's or Sprouts or whatever you call it? Or going to the library? Or cleaning up your house? Or playing on the computer?
Oh, the computer.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's an happiness. Yeah. I got the encyclopedia that came in the mail on my computer. Yeah. You'd be surprised what that all tells you. And what would you say is when you're happy, when you're youthful happiness? What do you do when you're feeling so filled with life and fun? What sort of things are you involved in? Cleaning the house or talking to the neighbor or going to dances with your husband? And yeah, now speak louder so this thing can hear you. You enjoy the moment. Well, that's a generic term, and that's nice too. Enjoy the moment. Well, what moment are you enjoying? Are you laying in bed with your husband? Are you having dinner together?
Having a leg of lamb.
Having a leg of lamb? Was that enjoyable?
Yes,
well, see, that's the points that I want from you. What is it that keeps us young? It is eating that leg of lamb and saying, wow, how did you spice this? How did you?
Having
10 pieces, that's right, we all notice that. But we pretend that we didn't, you know, because she's being eternally young. And I had 2 shares, you probably noticed that. No. Normally I eat a third portion, but I had 2 portions last night, and it was good. Well, I ate it primarily because there was a heap of it on the plate, and it also looked good, and it also tasted good. And something in my taste bud said, "Go for it, go for it," and it's wonderful. Yes?
If I'm taking a chicken bone, a chicken leg, and having it and biting in it.
You like eating chicken bones?
Well, I just came to my mind.
Hey, my sister May. My sister May would take the chicken bones off everybody's plate and chew on them for an hour after dinner, you know. She just loved them. But that's it. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Enjoy it. Have it. And just live it. Okay. Now, Dorothea?
Yes?
Now, what incidents, what little evidences are it that make you happy, that show you that you're young?
Just life itself.
Now, don't just life. You talk like an old lady. I want you to talk like a young kid. Now, let me give you this example. The little kid comes in, and he's been playing outside. And his mother says, "Well, Freddie, did you have fun?" "Yep." "What did you do?" "Everything." "What was everything?" "Well, lots of things." "And did you enjoy it?" "Yep." Okay, now, mother knows that's all she's going to get out of him. But you see, the thing is, this is what you can say. He was so busy having fun, he didn't pay any attention to that with which he was having fun. And I think that's how most of us are. We have fun so much of the time, we don't pay any attention to what we had fun with. Now, Lydia was at home with her husband in the evening, and Lydia was sitting at the computer, and her husband comes in and says, "My goodness sakes, how come your computer won't let that attachment through? Is there something wrong with that company?" And Lydia says, "That's my company, that's my school, you know." And her husband says, "Well, maybe there's something you want to look into there, you know." And Lydia says, "Yes, there is. I want to increase my size of my computer so it can take the stuff." And her husband says, "Yeah, but that costs money." And Lydia says, "So what? We're made of money. We're living for abundance and like that."
Wow.
Now, isn't that right, Lydia?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, you should have said that yourself. Now, Gertrude, what things give you fun?
Driving my bike.
Riding your bike?
Riding my car.
Oh, yeah.
Looking in the eyes of shadow.
Yes.
That's something very special.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you see there?
I see myself.
Yeah! You see yourself. That's beautiful. Now, why do you see yourself in the eyes of Jerome? Because he's a beautiful reflection of a peaceful, loving, gentle, happy person. Now, Sabrina's the same way.
Yes.
And so is Adrian, and so is Martin, and so is Katrina, and so is Peter, and so is Katie, and so are all these other people in your life, and the wives of these men too, and what have you. But you see, they're all beautiful, and they're all the reflection of you. So whenever you look at anyone, see what you see in Jerome's eyes in them, and you will have the most happy relationship that ever existed. Because you are seeing pure love. Now, where did the pure love come from, Dodie?
Within.
Within her. The pure love came right from within you, and that's what you see in Jerome. And of course, Jerome sees the same thing in you. And he says, "Grossi, you and I, we look just alike. We're both beautiful people." And he is a very handsome, beautiful boy. Richtig?
Yes.
Okay. Well, don't be so slow about it. And she knows that that means she is handsome and beautiful too, you know. And that's true. That's true, right? That's just the way it is. Yeah? What?
Yes.
Yes. Don't be so coy about it. Yes. Yes. Get that out there. Get that out into the wind and get it out into the fun. But you see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And this is what you want to do. You want to live in your eternal youth. You want to live in your agelessness. You want to live in that attitude of mind that puts you right up on the forefront. You see, I will say this to you. You don't want to be ageless. You want to live in the consciousness of, if I can say, eternal youth. Now, we've read stories about Babaji and Saint Germain and so forth, and they never seem to age, you know? And we read the stories about other great leaders and great gurus and great teachers, and they never seem to age. Some do, but most never seem to age. Now, why is it that they don't seem to age? They live in the now, and they live in the now of eternal youth. They live in the now of eternal joy. Have you ever read any stories about Babaji? The stories about him are very fascinating. He is a teenager. He's a teenager, and he has an older sister who's a pain in the neck. His older sister is always trying to keep him in line, shape him up, always trying to tell him what to do. And he doesn't care anything about it. He just is his spiritually illumined self. And as a spiritually illumined self, he does whatever he wants to do, and he plays whatever games he wants to play, and he doesn't care if anybody else likes it or not, he does. Now that is being an ageless being. Yes, you're fantastic. We will now take a pause, and I will tell you again and again and again how much I love you, because you're super.